You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
And today we're talking about 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette and Jim.
Anyway, again?
We're talking about the book 90 Day Soulmate. Why? Because this book is now 10?
11.
11 years old, and it still is a new book for many people that can help improve a relationship, help you find a relationship, and help you be better understanding of yourself, of your likes and your dislikes. So, whatever the case may be. So, the question of 90 Day Soulmate, the book, 90 Day Soulmate, the show, why? What does that mean, 90 Day Soulmate? Where did that term come from?
Maybe the 90 day has some meaning to.
90 day.
What you can do in 90 days.
Oh, wait, there's a little thing on the bottom of the book here. How I found my perfect match in 90 days.
That so looks like a plan.
A plan. How to find your perfect match, how to find your soulmate, how to find somebody you're compatible with in 90 days. The whole background of this, and for some of you who may not be so familiar, is that I'm going to go into Lisette. Lisette, many years ago.
Thousands of years ago.
Mm-hmm. Had gone through a divorce, was a single mom with a little baby, and for 13 years was a single mom. Working, taking care of her child, doing everything necessary to move her business forward and to raise her child, with the help, of course, of her family that was nearby and she had a very good relationship with. The point would be is that for 13 years, she also had the opportunity to meet different people, hundreds and hundreds
of people.
over those 13 years, had many, many opportunities to meet people.
And I'm waiting for you.
Yeah. But people in her profession. So what were you doing? What was your job through those years?
Okay, so I run in my own company to provide audit for manufacturing. So this not like the accountants. The people believe I am auditor for industrial process. So they mean I have to verify any kind of quality, environmental, and safety behind the one production process. Okay. So and then we certify the company in different standards. So by working this, I also provide training to the company, consultation, and also the big part of our business is create procedures, documentation for support any process.
So through that, you would meet engineers, you'd meet production workers, you'd meet accountants, you'd meet human resource people.
Owners
of the company. Peers in the industry, you had people that worked for you, you worked for the government, you worked for companies such as
university, hospital, any kind of business.
So like Exxon, were they a company you worked with, or General Motors?
Aeromotor, food company.
Like what? Like
Nestle, McCormick, gas and oil, chemical, like the...
BASF.
So
many well-known companies, but the reason to drop the names is to make this a real thing, that it's not just working for companies, but here are specific companies that there was a lot of experience working with these companies, and the audits a lot of times in quality were to look at where they were, what they were doing, what they were trying to achieve, and help them come up with procedures or plans of moving to that next step of documenting, of getting that process correct.
That's my job.
And for years, Lizette did that for companies.
Yes.
So, how does that turn into this? So,
this is a big mystery.
So after 13 years of dating on and off different people, meeting people through all these different companies she worked
with. And different countries.
Different countries.
Yeah.
What kind of countries did you go to?
I was in, of course, Venezuela.
Venezuela.
Colombia, Panama, Argentina, Costa Rica, Mexico, Canada. United States, Dominican Republic.
Ah, okay.
What else? Puerto Rico, I say that?
So many countries, many cultures, many types of people, many different educational backgrounds, many different religious and community-type beliefs, varying people of all heights and weights and ethnicities and yeah. looks
And language.
Language and bodies and all these things. So you met many people.
Yes.
Many who, I guess, initially you would be attracted to or would be attracted to you.
Yes, yes, separate.
Now, you had to be professional all the time, but I'm sure that someone would say, hey, what are you doing after today's audit? You want to grab a bite to eat.
Yeah.
That happen every once in a while?
Sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So some of those stories are actually in our other book, which is called While Victoria Dreams, which we'll hold up in a minute here, is this book. So the stories behind a lot of what's in 90 Day Soulmate is in this book.
The 300 dedicated.
The 300 different relationships. Very explicit, too, if you want to know. Oops, sorry. But the point of all that is that like many of you, Lizette, and I guess like myself as well, is Lizette would be introduced, meet people all the time. Some where she'd hit it off right away, others where it would be terrible and, you know, just part of work, part of, a friend introducing a friend, that there were many, many people that she met. But for 13 years, she remained single, raising her child, running her business, continuing to meet people. So even when I say single, she might have been dating someone, she might have gone out with someone for a day, a week, a month, a couple of months, but no one ever...
No marry again.
Not going to do it.
No.
So how does this turn into 90 Day Soulmate? Oh, once again. So someday, Lizette's had enough of these meetings with people who seem compatible, maybe aren't compatible, and she decides to take the same auditing procedures
and process documentation
and writing things down and create a process for going from where she is in a relationship, which is not having one, to having a relationship that meets her requirements, kind of like a blueprint that you would do in a company, right?
A certification process. Soulmate, so he has this stamp here.
But documented steps of how to go from not exactly sure of what you want to knowing what you want to finding what you want or having what you want find you. It's kind of interesting.
Can be.
So Lizette takes this plan, and let's say plan, she takes this idea and starts coming down with stuff like, okay, what's the first thing I need to do? I need to know what do I like? Let me really be sure.
Who am I?
Yeah. Who am I? So there's a lot of writing down of Lizette's educational background, of where she grew up.
Values.
The values she has.
I believe.
Her family, the beliefs, her hobbies.
The program that we have relating to relationship? What are the kind of the glasses I use to see what is the real relationship?
So there are two aspects to this. There are the, and I'm going to talk about this, and we talk about this in our show, is I threw down here on the paper evolutionary psychology, the things that we want because of how we've evolved over millions of years. And the second part of that is the social psychology, which a lot of that is our learned behaviors and traits. So one is the inborn behaviors and traits that are part of ourselves as a core. And the second part of that is what we've learned. So what our families have taught us, what the society that we've grown up has taught us, if we've gone to school for a certain type of education, what that has taught us. I wrote down here questions that is, what does engineering have to do with love? Because our show is 90 Day Soulmate, but we're also in there, we've got a little thing called the engineers of love.
Yeah.
That just sounds opposite.
Maybe.
But maybe.
Depends on the glasses that you use.
It is. So educationally wise, Lizette's background is information engineering. It is industrial engineering. Mm-hmm. And it is a doctorate in
education
itself. So Lizette was a professor at college, different universities in Venezuela. Mm-hmm. My background, engineering.
Electrical engineering,
master's in business administration, and then doctoral work in industrial and organizational psychology. It's a tongue twister. There was a reason we did that. One is engineers look at things a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Five wife.
No. Erase that. But the point of that is that many educational backgrounds, you learn information.
Mm-hmm.
This is how something is. In engineering, things have to actually equate. That A plus B equals C, if that is a formula, it has to apply. It's not just a theory that somebody put down on paper that has some ancillary studies and research that go, oh, look at here's some information that backs up the theory. In engineering,
you need to look in for proof, evidence. Also for art, if you don't have evidence, you cannot draw anything. So this is part of it.
Exactly. So we look at psychology and love and relationships and the things that we are interested in reviewing,
mm-hmm,
from the standpoint of engineering. Does it make sense? Does it fit like an equation with other things that should fit like an equation with it?
Mm-hmm.
When we have a process for finding your soulmate, does it actually make sense from a formulaic standpoint? If you do this, and you do this, and you do this, will you get this? So it might be a little bit dry and not just all emotional, like,
mm-hmm,
some people are with finding your soulmate, just looking for someone beautiful and being stranded on an island.
Magic and fantasy.
And getting a rose and a flower. We look at concrete steps that you can do, that we did, in order to find somebody,
mm-hmm,
we're compatible with.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk more about that when we come back to 90 Day Soulmate with
Lizette
and Jim. We'll be right back. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Today we are talking about 90 Day Soulmate, as you are well aware, as you've been listening to our first few minutes and segments.
Yeah.
The reason we're doing this is that 90 Day Soulmate to us is so familiar because we do it every week. We've been involved in the book itself, in writing other books, and also giving seminars and talks with people in groups,
mm-hmm,
for many years. So we're so familiar with it, we kind of assume, oh, everyone else is familiar with it. But we're just not as well known as probably we think we are, which is one of the things that is part of the psychology. We may be very familiar with something and assume someone else is.
Sometimes it's not true.
But it's not true. In fact, we may think we know who we are, and we may not actually be familiar with ourselves enough. So we talked about 90 Day Soulmate being a method to understanding who you are, what you want in a relationship, whether that's a romantic relationship or just a relationship with other people, and ways of getting that, and how that becomes very easy once you do the pre-work. We had an ad many years ago that talked about we go to school for math and for science and for English when we're young. We spend from kindergarten to 12th grade going through high school and we learn
math,
geometry, English,
art.
But we don't have any courses on relationship. That's almost trial and error. A lot of relationship is taught to us through the media, the movies we see, the books we read, like 90 Day Soulmate,
and family.
Family, ambience, culture, religion, that we learn these things based upon social psychology, social influence. Things around us that apply pressure to us to act in certain ways, to conform to authority, conform to peer pressure, to live up to certain standards, or when we feel we're different than everyone else, we then join another group, which may be in a minority type group. If we are engineers that like to play Frisbee, we join the Frisbee group, we get Frisbee t-shirts, we then start acting more like Frisbee players, we start throwing things this way all the time. The point is that if we either associate with a large group or a small group, we start acting in identifiable ways to conform to those groups. And the wide variety of groups that are in the world today can help add to the diversity, the creativity, the ability to solve things because there's a greater amount of viewpoints. But being part of a group can create a way for us to act that may not be how we are internally. We may be learning to act in certain ways to fit in, which is the social psychology aspect of what we were just talking about. Innately, we may want to have certain things or need certain things. And again, evolutionary psychology is the psychology of us as humans that's related to what helped us survive for millions of years of evolution. Why we find a mate, why we try to fit in with a group. It's survival of the species. Those people that did not follow what was best for the species, oh, I'm going to go live by myself out here in the woods, get attacked by a bear.
You die.
But those who conform in a group, in a setting, in evolution, so some of the social psychology aspects of that day that enabled survival, those things got incorporated in the evolutionary psychology. So today's social psychology can become tomorrow's evolutionary psychology.
Okay.
That's my theory as of right now.
Wow.
As an engineer. The reason this is important, here we go. Part of the book requests or helps you write down things. It asks you about a past relationship, ones that worked. Put down notes about what worked in the relationship.
Some kind of checklist and form that you need to fill out.
Why write it down?
It's important because the way that you first organize your idea and has to put in some paper or electronic way, is the point that how you maybe have more connection, commitment with yourself. Because if you're thinking something tomorrow, maybe you forget. Okay. But if in the paper, you can also fix it, you can also update, review, and this is the way that we're looking for. The people try to connect with yourself to discover first who you are and what are you looking for.
Okay. I'm going to go a little different direction in writing down things.
Okay.
So I had read, and this is years ago, about, and it could have been one of these motivational speakers, one of these trainers, it could have been in a psychology book, I don't know where it was, but this sounds true, and I'm using my engineering analysis to say this sounds true. And then you take psychology tidbits and information and go, okay, it makes sense from that standpoint. And it also makes sense from a standpoint of all the things we always talk about. Is that when you write something down, you then more formalize your thinking about it, which make you recognize it more, which make you understand it better, which then makes you take that as part of your essence, mm-hmm. and then filter new things and new information through that. So the more you formalize your thinking, the more you can focus on those things that you're focusing on. It's the old comment that if you really like Chevrolets, you like, what's that one car? The Corvette. Mm-hmm. You like a Corvette. Now, every time you see a Corvette drive by, you see it, you recognize it. But maybe you're a newlywed and you just had a baby and you have a small family and you've been looking for a little station wagon, a little SUV, and you're thinking, what's the best SUV? You may only look at SUVs and recognize them as they drive down the street.
Because you're looking for that.
Yeah. And the Corvettes you don't actually care about because you have no interest. But your focus that you have directs your attention. Going back to the book, writing down things creates a focus which directs your attention. But not only directs your attention, it only allows you to see things that actually fit where your attention is. And it causes you to start not noticing things that don't fit. In the book, we talk about why do I keep getting into bad relationships? And part of it is because you keep focusing on bad relationships. Not the bad part, but the qualities of the individual that you thought you liked at the beginning that turn out to be a bad relationship. You may never actually understand that those qualities that lead to a bad relationship you've been attracted to, but you don't know why.
And so you remind me one of my audit, I interview a owner of the BP company, and he also pointing this, he say, when you drive in the highway and you see some hole in the ground, typical we see the hole and the car go to the hole. So he say, pointing to the different, your eyes and the good area of the ground, and you really no watching the hole, and you really avoid crashing the car inside the hole. So this is almost the same theory about that we are more focused in the bad relationship. I don't want to have this bad guy with me again. But you're watching the bad guy, and then you attract the bad guy.
A few weeks ago, you may have heard this story already, I went to a motorcycle training course in Greer, South Carolina. They teach you about things called escape routes. That as you ride your motorcycle, you should always be looking left and right to behind. You need to know exactly where you are in reference to everything else on the road, so you can have a way to avoid something. But you're looking for the avoidance. You're not looking for what I'm about to
hit.
The
obstacle, yeah.
You're looking about how do I avoid? Because as soon as you look at the obstacle,
you touch it.
You start steering towards it. And those who ride motorcycles understand that point is don't look at the ground, but look at how to get away from the ground. And it helps you not dump your bike.
Mm-hmm.
Something they teach you at the riding course. part of writing down that I was moving towards before as far as an explanation is, I think it was one of the past wars, prisoners of war in a different country that had the country that we were fighting at the time had beliefs that were different than the U.S. And this is true with any country, that if there are two very opposing political or country national views, that a prisoner of war in one of these other countries may be treated harshly. One of the ways prisoners of war were treated in one of these countries, they were made to write positive things about the country that has imprisoned them.
Okay.
So let's just pretend you're in a country that's communist. And, or should I say, you're but pretend you're from a country that's not, and mm-hmm. and you're a prisoner in one of these communist countries, and they say, if you want dinner tonight, you want to be treated nicely to a nice dining hall, you need to write something nice about something about communism that you see as a positive. And the prisoners being not fed well, one or two of them would all of a sudden say, you know, I'm going to do this. I don't believe it, but I'm going to write it down. And they would write something positive about communism. Something. I don't believe it, but I'm writing it down. And they get a good meal. So next time, I'm going to write something down. I'm going to write something even a little bit better about it. This is a form of brainwashing. Now, brainwashing is good or bad, depending on who controls it and the intent. What do you mean brainwashing's good or bad? Everything we do is a sort of brainwashing. We read a new book on a new subject that we're learning. We never knew it before. We start teaching ourselves these things. If we believe them and embrace them, we're brainwashing ourselves. We're basically changing the synapses and growing our brain through neural plasticity. And we're growing that part of our brain to become stronger and grow around those thoughts. Mm-hmm. So those thoughts become more of who we are. We become what we think about, what we study, what we work on, no matter if it's good or bad. So you either plant seeds or you let weeds. Plant seeds or let weeds. When you write something down on paper, whether you believe it or not, you start training your mind to believe it. If I am physically taking an action towards something, even if I don't mentally believe it, but I just wrote it down because I knew I was going to get a good dinner, I start forming this cognitive dissonance. Well, synapses, I've created something in my mind, this idea, I've created a seed of thought. Mm-hmm. Communism is good because everyone has nothing, but we're all in it together.
Wow.
Or something.
Yeah.
Or no one is left behind.
All is equal.
All is equal. Whatever it is that you create that thought, that seed of thought, and that every time you build upon that seed of thought, that can grow, and then maybe it will make a connection to something else, and maybe you'll go, you know what? I do believe this.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we take something we want and we start writing it down, what are the best parts of the relationships that you had in the past? Oh, what I really liked was when we would do things together. I enjoy camping. Da 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 da. You write it down, but if they are also truths about you, they become stronger truths.
Mm-hmm.
They also then become a filter mechanism. And you automatically start thinking more about camping. You start thinking more about doing things with somebody that revolve around camping. So part of this 90-Day Soulmate book is to really strongly start setting boundaries around who you are and avoiding who you're not.
Mm-hmm. or who you don't want to be.
Or who you don't want to be, which then lead into who you don't want to be with. Well, you don't focus on who you don't want to be with. Mm-hmm. You start focusing on who you want to be with. Types of people, yeah. Activities, political interests, religious interests,
and also
height.
This is a way that you also can improve your own filter, because we have so many filters when we see people.
Mm-hmm.
So like that.
Oh, you know?
And then when you open the filter, you really can see clear versus start to, again, watching the whole and looking for, we have one chapter called sabotage relationship. Because
yes.
Your filter is so foggy and you believe this is love, this is the perfect guy, and then you go back to the wrong way again.
Because you're only recognizing people who treat you badly. That somebody who treats you well, you don't have any emotional connection to.
Boring.
For whatever, they're boring. That sometimes, the boringest.
Okay.
Don't even know if that's a word, but the most boring, the most boring of relationships can maybe grow into the strongest. And this is what I mean by that. Is that if you get along with somebody, and maybe we talk about this, you have a friend that you grew up with, and when you were in third grade, fourth grade, you were in high school, and they were somebody that was, they were an attractive person, but you really didn't see them as attractive because they were your friend. And you did everything, you talked about everything, but you never saw them as a potential relationship because you got along with them so well. And that's not how you were taught relationships are. You're relating to them. Sometimes you're angry, sometimes you're happy, but there's this huge emotional turmoil in relationships. At least for some people, that's what they're taught. So they don't see that person that doesn't cause the emotional turmoil as being even a potential for a relationship. So that's what we're trying to help is, let's look at those people you actually get along with, and there's not a stress, and there's not a strain, and there's not something that triggers a emotional response of, oh, this could be love, when it's actually, this could be, I don't get along with them.
Yeah, but let me leave just the first weekday.
Just one week.
Yeah.
So interesting.
And then the next week, and then when you are there, you cannot leave.
So, where else are we on here? So we talked about documenting cognitive dissonance, where if you're thinking one thing but you're doing something else, you have to resolve that, where there's this awkwardness between how you're thinking and what you're doing. And part of writing down these things, these exercises in the book, is to move your actions towards your thinking and your thoughts and how you are. So becoming your true self.
Also, chapter 8, we're talking about programs. So is how or what kind of program you have from your parents, because really we are influenced when we grew up. What do we see between your father, your mother, and treatment and relationship? So this is one unique tool that we have here is about how you see your parents, also my parents and your parents, and you compare it is the value how Jean grew up and the values I grew up is almost similar, based upon that we grew up in different country, it's supposed different culture, but sometimes the people say, how you do, because it's the people sometimes when you see a person from other country believe you don't match because don't have the same kind of habit or religion or stuff, but the foundation for family is more strong. So I believe that our secret is we grew up in similar value family, based upon is in different country with different language.
I would agree. I'm going to do a nuance to that.
Okay.
So as you were saying that, I'm thinking that you see your parents or other people within your family and you see their relationships and you see how they are, and you can accept that as being, oh, that is love. Or you can say that's the opposite. So sometimes we are the opposite of our parents. Rather than wanting what they have, we want not what they have. Oh, you know, I, the way they interact with each other, I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're polite to each other all the time. I want them to argue, or they argue all the time. I don't want to ever argue again.
I got it now.
So one of the things we talked about is that, like, my parents never argued. They would, you know, maybe they would disagree, but we never really felt that. So there was a lack of arguing in the household. There was a lack of arguing from us too, because you were told to do this and you did it. So. But the point is that was seen as there's no emotional conflict as part of that love. So my first relationship where it would become a conflict in something that turned into maybe an argument, and she grew up in a family where if the parents argued, it was
normal,
but argued not from a standpoint of hating each other. It was, they had their opinions, they stated their opinions, they may have argued about something in front of the children, and then afterwards it was all over, and they saw that as normal. That they came to the relationship with that program.
Mm-hmm.
I came to the one of you never argue, and therefore when we would start to argue, I'm thinking, this is it, we don't like each other, we don't love each other. And when I wouldn't argue, she would see it as, he doesn't love me. And when you see that and you recognize, like, here we are 30 years later recognizing, oh my gosh, that was the case.
Yeah.
I didn't know that then.
Sometimes time is good.
Time is good. So, and, or, that's why this book, in writing it, was very therapeutic
mm-hmm.
for me.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that early on in our relationship. So we wrote this book with about a year into our relationship, which was very interesting because we went on dozens and dozens of radio and TV interviews, and people would say, oh, you wrote this book on relationships. What kind of experts are you? How long have you been married? Oh, we've been married
a year.
So, oh, well, get back to us when you've been married 10. Okay, we were married 11 now. We're back to you. We're back to you with
this evidence.
It does work. Real evidence. Engineer's evidence. Proof over time. We had to prove this, so we stayed together for 10 years.
That's tough, but we are.
We made it. So someone the other day was saying they really liked our story, and we like our story. We like our story. We like our story so much it's in this book, While Victoria mm-hmm. Dreams. But what I mean by that, in actuality, is we wanted to share the methodology that was used to form this relationship. And when we tried to do that 10, 11 years ago, it was a little bit more difficult because of the, how long have you known each other? 1 year. And we're telling people who've been married for 5, 10, 15, 20 years that we know what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we've done research, even though we've done...
So we have to
classes.
Wait 10 years more for be famous.
That's right.
This is long term.
But we don't. We'd rather have a small following of people, not even following, people who read and understand and are curious, who we can help.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have hundreds of people who have written to us after utilizing the tools that we've supplied through the book,
mm-hmm.
where they found relationships, they've become married, or they've just bettered their existing relationship by understanding. Again, if I knew that my first wife liked to argue or saw arguing as part of a loving relationship, and that it wasn't meaning that you hated each other, and if I understood that I didn't see that as part of a loving relationship, and we both understood that in our relationship, then maybe that relationship would have been better.
Yeah.
Because we would have understood the programming each of us obtained in what we thought a loving relationship was.
Yeah, but then you'd be married with her and not married with me. So
luckily it didn't work out, and we'll be
yes.
right back after this. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
We were talking a little bit about who you are in order to determine what you like, what you dislike, how you can have better relationships. part of this can be your background. Part of this can be what you do for work. Part of this can be your passion. And many of the people we work with also want to write about that. They want to, they have a story, they have a history, they have
experience, career.
Wonderful, wonderful, very detailed knowledge in something that they're passionate about. Exploring that and more fully investigating it and detailing it in writing is what they want to do. During the break, Lizette wrote this book. No. She went upstairs and she got it out of our library. It's called Right Now. So a few years back, we started helping people write their books. And the idea was how to go from a thought in your head to a book that can be read in 90 days. And that's our little tagline. We always have these 90-day taglines, from head to read in 90 days. The idea is to take those ideas that you have and to get them down on paper and get them into a book like this.
I know some people told me that when you use the book and write, it's also therapy, because
yes,
it's the way how you can put all your own history, family history, emotion, in one, again, paper, and create a book. Maybe it's a book for your family, because people say, I want to tell the history and keep in the family. Maybe it's not necessary to be a published book.
Yes.
But you can use the methodology, because go step by step how you can start to have all idea, how organize this idea and put in one easy way to document your history.
For instance, how to generate knowledge around the ideas that you have for a book. Getting to know what your inspiration is. Why do you want to write it? What's your passion behind it? Getting to know your needs. What's your need for writing this? Another one is deciding what to write. So you have an idea about what to write, but how to actually get down exactly the ideas of what you want to write. Because you might have a knowledge on a giant subject, and it's just way too much. Yeah. So how do you limit it to specifically what you need? How to organize your data chronologically, technically, category. It helps you present something in a succinct and efficient method.
And the style that you want to
be. Style. You know, for instance, I'm going back to this book. When we wrote it, the idea was to bring somebody through the steps from A through Z, or 1 through 10. We wanted to keep it very straightforward. These number of chapters. The chapters will take you through this, 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 this. So you're breaking your subject up from the introduction through the end in that. A lot of these types of books, like Right Now and 90 Day Soulmate, are more technical.
So 90 Day Challenge is other book.
90 Day Challenge, a book
for
that
business.
Is for business. It's a very thick book. I call it thick because it's a big book. It takes a company through where they are now, what their goals are, setting where they want to be in the future, looking at the gap, doing gap analysis, looking at techniques for advertising, techniques for marketing, techniques for writing processes, and helps take a company from where they are now to where they want to be.
So it's the same methodology for love, for business, for...
For writing a book. It's all the same. We're so simple. We're just simple people.
Sure.
As I tell my wife. There was one thing that we talked about, the writing it down. This isn't a joke, but the brainwashing that you can do to yourself. And look at it is therapy. Therapy is nothing but another form of brainwashing. It's actually trying to break certain thought patterns and create new ones. It's much easier to create new thought patterns than to break. If you want to get rid of fat, it's easier to exercise and gain muscle than maybe it is to figure out how to lose fat. You know, lose fat, well, I gotta stop eating, because that way I'll have to start using the fat. But if I exercise, I work on my muscles will also grow, which will then allow me to use more calories because I have more muscle, which will help reduce fat. So this is the theory with our thoughts, which is it may be hard to break down that fat thought, you know, that thought that we don't want anymore. And it may be easier to build a new thought. With neuroplasticity, the ability for the brain to be placid, to grow, like plastic, it's malleable, it can
flexible.
Grow. Flexible, is that our brains can grow. It's hard to break a thought, but it's easy to create new thought patterns. And the stronger those new thought patterns are, the more easy it is to not follow the old thought patterns. And that thought pattern will eventually be broken.
Yeah.
With focus on the new thought pattern. If you focus on, I want to avoid that thought pattern, I need to avoid that thought pattern, let me not do that thought.
Never you.
You're always, it's that fixation on a negative.
Focus in the row.
On the negative.
Yeah.
So, again, what this whole today's show started off with 90 Day Soulmate. And the reason behind 90 Day Soulmate and our explanation of it was this was personal, very personal. Lizette wrote the method that's in this book. We then wrote the book together after we found the result of the method. And here we are 10 years later telling you, here's the proof of the method.
Also, that I have some friends and people that wrote the book and using, and it's so, it's a blessing to see how people use the book, fill in the form, and follow the step. And right now, send wedding picture of the wife or the husband. And also, I have one interesting case that they want to have a baby and they try because it's an old couple. And he say, I can read again the book and maybe use him for, and he be focused on this, and finally he have a little boy, and for us it's blessing to see how people be happy, found the way to achieve the relationship.
Yes.
Yeah. So we also be part of different wedding, you know.
It's true. What I found interesting is we do know people who bought this book 10 years ago, and they say, you know what, I bought your book 3 years ago, and it's not working for me. So have you read it yet? Well, no. Have you done the exercises? No. Again.
You put it in the table, it's not working.
Hold on, let me sleep on the book.
Yeah, no, you have to read, you have to fill out the form. So people read but don't fill the form, so it's also not working.
Right. The filling out the writing, it really is very influential in what you then are able to filter out automatically and not.
Mm-hmm.
What you focus on versus what you don't focus on. There was a point I was trying to get to on that, and I'll remember it later. This was the point. We made this point earlier, which was we go to school for math and English. Let's just focus on math. How many times have you seen someone post on social media, you know, I learned geometry in school and I'm never going to use this again in my life. I learned algebra. When am I going to ever use algebra? When do I go to a grocery store and someone says, you can get 3 pears for $5 or you can get 2 apples for $2. How much does bananas cost? Well, hold on. Yes, you never have a real life experience with needing algebra in that method, right? In that way. But we learn it. We take a whole year of it. We may take 2 years of it. We have year after year after year of different subjects that we think we never use. What is one subject we use daily?
Language.
But another one is relationships, relating to other people, whether it's romantic, business, personal,
family.
Yourself, that we use that every single day, but yet we have not a single course in elementary school, middle school, high school, college. Maybe they have them in college now, but who knows?
But I start to see, and it's interesting, in the little kid, you know, I have my cousin kid in Houston. One day she showed me some book. She's in the first grade, and they start to see emotional recognition. So they put the pictures of the face and has to describe is sad or is happy or this. So when I saw that, I said, wow, finally the education start to introduce some kind of the face recognition.
Face recognition, which is part of evolutionary psychology, every culture around the globe, smile is happy, baring teeth is angry, sad is sad, that every culture, no matter where you are, no matter the level of, quote, development, third world, second world, first world, zero world country, out of this world country, who knows? We don't know about aliens yet. But a smile is happy, a frown, a sad face is sad, that these are natural attributes that we don't have to teach, that we may be asking children to do you recognize, but they do actually innately recognize these things. They may have a hard time putting them into words, but emotionally they can recognize someone smiling and being happy and someone scowling and being angry. These are natural occurring things, but to have people to be able to understand them and talk about them at a young age, we think is fantastic.
Yeah, I feel happy for that. I hope this generation become better.
We hope that.
Yeah.
So as a final takeaway from today is that we can write things down to positively brainwash ourselves into the direction we want. We know that through school, by writing down, doing math problems, by writing English, by doing that, we become those things. Those things become part of us. So any idea, any thought, any background or subject that you want to study and become better at, basically, I want to be more knowledgeable on myself. So let me write down stuff on myself. I'll become more knowledgeable. I'll build that part of my brain. I'll focus on the positives, and in return, I'll get a positive outcome.
That's right.
That's right. Thank you for watching 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
And have yourself a great week.
Happy long weekend.
Yeah, happy long weekend for those who are having the happy long weekend.
Happy Labor Day.
Labor Day. Until bye. Next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lizette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.